对。Before we, I mean, I've come a long way, and before we get into that, I just want to look at a couple scriptures too, starting with Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And now, through the Accurate Handlers course, I did a little in-depth study on that. And the main, like, one of the words that I went into the dictionary, or the Vines Dictionary in the Greek, was perfect, because I want to know what that means. And it comes from the word teleo, which means to complete or accomplish. And that word comes from teleos, which comes from the base Greek word telos or telo, which means, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing those right, but we're going to go with it. And it means to set out for a definite point or goal, properly the point aimed at as a limit. By implication, the conclusion of an act or a state, or specifically an impost. Now, if you're anything like me, you're like, what's an impost got to do with perfection? So I would use the regular dictionary to look that up. And it came up, a tax, a tribute, duty or a customs duty, or my favorite right here, the weight assigned to a horse in a race. And so that just kind of went along with, you know, running the race that we have to run for Christ Jesus. I mean, we all have a part to play. We all have an assigned weight to us to, you know, do the works of God for God. And in that working, going to Philippians 1, 6, and it says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns, or until we're called home. And now, with that, I just want to go ahead and give you some of my testimony here so you can know more of where I came from. And when I go about this, it is not for recognition of man, but it's for the glory of God, because we all know God is great, and that is an understatement even. So it's just all to glorify God and really show the kinds of works that he can do even in anybody's life. So I'll jump back to 11th grade. That's kind of where it all started, you know, 16 years old, think I'm running my own life. I was very heavy into drugs. I got into it probably 3 weeks after I started school. Anything upwards of methamphetamines, marijuana, cocaine, stuff like that, prescription drugs that weren't mine, over-the-counter drugs. And, you know, I did well in school, but that wasn't because I cared for it. It was because I was actually bored in class, so I did my homework because I had nothing else to do. So, and these were all easily accessible to me. I never had to pay for them. I never had to look for them. They always just came at hand, and they came to me. And so there, after the third week in school, you know, finally finding my connection for it all, there wasn't a day the rest of 11th grade that I wasn't on something. Whether that was weekend, weekday, during school, I would actually go into the bathroom and do whatever it was that I was doing. So needless to say, that made me kind of a horrible boyfriend. It's just, I didn't know how to treat a lady properly. Just a lot of bad stuff that I was doing. And so I actually overdosed once over an over-the-counter drug. And what it was vomiting to the point of bleeding through the throat. And I didn't go in because I was still a little loopy in the mind. So I just stayed at home and did whatever I was doing. And then come summertime, I lost that connection. And so I'd stopped for a while. Well, most of it I had stopped. And I'd, you know, I'd needless to say, I didn't have a girlfriend either. And so when 12th grade came around, the connection was kind of there, but not really. And I had also met someone that I had cared for like no other in that time and day. And it really threw my life for a loop compared to what I was used to. And I actually started to care about school. I was on the B honor roll because I wanted to be, not because I was bored in class. And actually, in third quarter, I almost made A honor roll. I was literally, all I needed was my B plus to be an A minus, and I would have had A honor roll. So I was pretty bummed about that. But other than that, you know, it just kind of, you know, turned my life around, and I started living for something even better. It still wasn't what I was supposed to live for, because God's who we're supposed to live for, but I had something better to live for than for drugs. And I spent most to all my time with this significant other. And in that too, I realized when I didn't spend time with her, I would be foolishly doing drugs again. And so it wasn't a pretty sight, you know, not being where I am now. But at the same time, I'm glad that I went through what I did, because I can relate to so many others in life and help them through to show them that, you know, hey, God can bring anybody. And so after I graduated, I found a new connection, and I would go on 3 to 5 day binges, no sleep, minimal food to eat. I would drink upwards to 1 liter of alcohol a day to myself. And it just kind of, my relationship with my significant other, let me get my words right here, just spiraled down, and eventually I lost her as well. And, you know, it just, let me add in too, with all that, I smoked around 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Yeah, gross, gross. That was pretty gross. I don't know how she kissed me. But, you know, I started realizing just that it wasn't getting me anywhere, so I stopped drinking so much. I mean, I still drank, and I still partied and did what I had to do, but I stopped drinking so much. And then I met Josh, and I re-met Carrie, and just hanging out with them kind of really changed me. I stopped using the Lord's name in vain because they had, you know, request that of me, and out of respect, I agreed. Well, essentially, that became a habit in my own life, my own personal life. I wouldn't use the Lord's name in vain anymore. I would just, you know, it actually started to bug me when people did it, because it's like, well, don't you have any respect for people who believe in God? And at the, you know, I still didn't believe him at the time. And so when I started hanging out with them, that New Year's, after I'd started hanging out with them, someone had walked up to me and goes, "You want to do some cocaine? I know you do it." And for no reason to my own knowledge, I said no. I was like, "No, you know, I don't want any of that. I've got better things to do. I don't want to be running off being as stupid as I was, even though I was still stupid, but you know, it just wasn't as bad. Not that that makes it any better." But in that, you know, I quit all the heavy stuff, is what you'd call it. I mean, I find, me personally, on my own conviction, drinking heavy stuff nowadays. But in dropping all the heavy stuff, I'd started smoking marijuana again, heavily. And it was easily accessible. I didn't have to pay for it. It was around, it was there. And I felt like a better person when I was on it. And that was really Satan just turning my mind around and saying, "Hey, you know, this makes you better. You should do it more. You should do it more often. You should always be high." And that is true. We should always be high, but high on Christ. And so, in March 4th of 2010, I was sitting in Roger's office talking about water baptism, and, you know, just kind of getting the lowdown on that, Well, he had asked if I wanted to receive Jesus that day, it wouldn't be water baptism, but baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I was like, yeah, sure. I'm shaking. I'm all like nervous. I'm like, okay, let's pray. But I accepted it, and then I accepted him. And then just a few months later, June 4th, when some of you have seen the video when we came back from Mexico, of that same year, 2010, I was water baptized. And I want to jump over to Colossians 3, if I know where I'm going. And we're going to start off, you know, in being raised and born again with Christ, we are supposed to live a new life and put off the old nature. And I just want to give some description from the scripture what the old and new life are. And so we'll start with Colossians 3:1-9. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Bless you. And I'm going to jump over real quick to Galatians 5:19-21. Just to get a bigger picture, somewhat bigger picture of what the desire. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so jumping back, I should have told you to hold your place. Jumping back to Colossians 3, go through 10-13. And this is the new nature that we are supposed to put on when we are raised again with Christ. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be His holy people, He loves you. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And you don't have to turn. I'll just read more from Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And now 14 as well, above all, clothe yourselves, Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And now, what love is, I took this out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, and that includes people that we don't like. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, under all circumstances, and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And really, I kind of struggled with a lot of this when I was first saved and was baptized, because here I am thinking, once I'm baptized and once I've received Jesus, that I can just kick back in, you know, a recliner, lazy boy chair, and let Jesus just, you know, do it all. I didn't realize that you had to swim upstream, and if you weren't swimming upstream, you were being swept downstream. And so, you know, things kind of went down again, you know, in between the time of being saved and in a little bit before I had stopped smoking weed, because, you know, I was like, that's wrong. You know, it's not for me to do. Well, in figuring that Jesus was going to run my life without me running towards him, I had fell back into smoking marijuana again. And so it just, and then one day I was sitting there, and it almost felt like a slap in the face. God was like, you know that's wrong. You can't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. And so I changed from there, and I didn't do that anymore, because I knew just how wrong it was. And I'll just read the rest of Colossians here real quick. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And I just want to point out, like, within just the couple scriptures, it talks about being thankful a few different times. And we should always be thankful. And no matter how much thanks we give, it's not enough to, you know, you can't thank him enough for what he has done. But as a father, you know, any father appreciates the appreciation that he has given and he's done. And, you know, we're supposed to live so that way people can see Jesus in us. Like my coworkers the other day, they're like, I'm going to call you Sunshine because you're always happy. You can't always be happy. I'm like, sure you can. You can always be happy. Jesus, it's the Jesus in me. And he's like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no, I'm serious. And he's like, oh. Well, you're not as pretty as I thought, because he called me a pretty boy. And he goes, you're not as pretty as I thought. I go, hey, we all have different views. And he's like, okay, I understand that. I understand that. But in living for Christ, when I started to realize that I should be swimming upstream, I had started, one of the biggest and main things that I had started with was anger. And that's because I grew up in a family who was always angry with each other, with anything, really, for no reason. And so I gave myself the pass to say, hey, you know what? My family's angry. It's hereditary. I'm angry. It's okay. Well, when I started fighting that, I started reading the scripture. The main one that I turned to was Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. Thank you, Roger. I drew a blank there. 4, 26 and 27, it says, do not sin by letting anger control you. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And in that too, just James 4, 7, it says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so I had started submitting myself more and more to God to realize, you know, hey, this is a better life. Anger is not hereditary. It is something that can be dealt with ease if you just hand it up to God. Well, being as stubborn as I was, I didn't find it with ease. I struggled with it. And, you know, just really walking in the love walk, you know, in all that explanation before, you know, how it endures long and is patient and kind. Patient and kind and anger, they kind of don't go together. So I struggled hard with that. But just keeping in the Word and strengthening my devotions each and every day really helped me. And it's just, I'm glad that I have this, and I'm glad that I have different versions. Different perspective. It's a like, you know, some the different translations and whatnot. And so I'm just thankful that he's helped me through this. And then as well with the love walk too. I grew up thinking that, you know, I always would hear from my father that we need money for this, need money for that. Well, back then, this would have been 10, 12 years ago. And he made pretty good money. From what I understand now, he made pretty good money back then. So I never understood, you know, I don't understand now, but I never understood back then why it was always, we need money for this, we need money for that. But I always had the gifts and, you know, toys and everything that I ever wanted. I always had it. And so I grew up thinking that the way to show your love is just by giving gifts. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts, so if you want to give me a few after church, I'm all right with that. But when you give a gift and think that that's enough is where it's wrong. Because that is not how you show your love. I mean, you show through actions, but more than just giving gifts. You know, like at work, how I'm always happy. And I give help anytime that I can because, you know, that's how showing love is. And so I just actually realized that probably in the last month or so, it especially hit me in men's fraternity, the first one. It was me, Josh, and Rodney. We're sitting there talking, and what it said in there was that everybody is hurt in their, or damaged from their childhood to some degree or another. Could be big, could be small. I realized that was a big one for me because that it also made me not necessarily a bad boyfriend, but not the man that I should be, not the man that I could be. And so I just really realized that, you know, it's got to change, because when God brings me my wife, I want to be able to let her know that she's wanted each and every day. You know, and again, this is one of these things that I wish I would have known back then. But it's something that I can help relate to others in the world. You know, I can help relate to someone who's struggling with that type of situation. I can really just be the help that I've been called to be. And in changing and in doing my devotions each and every day and night and giving my time more and more to God, I've realized really who I am in Christ and what kind of work he's got me, and just the helper that I've been called to be, the server that I've been called to be. You know, I feel like I'm called to ministry, and in leading anything, the first thing you have to learn to do is to serve. And so, you know, I'm learning that. I'm glad. You know, I feel ready now that if God presented me my wife, that I would be able to show her the kind of love that Jesus showed the church. And so I'm just very thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the work that's continuing on in me, and I just, you know, I'm just happy. I'm just happy. And so, you know, and there are times where I find myself stagnant and stuck, but if I just really sit down and listen to God, he tells me things and gives me things to stretch my faith to continue on in my walk with him. I'll just give, just for an example, just recently he had challenged me to double the percentage of my giving. Well, on top of that, I switched jobs from Viracon to Timber Lodge, and in my steady pay or my salary, I took a 3/4 cut in pay. But with my tips, it equals out to be about a half. And so, you know, I kind of sat there for a second and was like, how am I supposed to pay for everything? But, you know, then it just came to me that, you know, that we are not supposed to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. We're not supposed to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In Matthew 6:33, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then the rest will be added unto us. And I figure if I'm obeying God and I'm seeking him more and just trusting him more and building more in his faith, then he's going to come through and give me more than anything that I ever need or wanted in abundance. And so that's just, you know, that's just kind of where I am now and how I've grown from where I was. And it just, I'm glad, you know, it would have been nice to not have to go through all that. But at the same time, again, I'm really glad that I can relate to people of the who live for the world to show them that there is a better way, there's a better life. I live happier and better now than I have in my entire life. You know, trouble costs a lot of money. A lot of money. So I just want to end with the scripture, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It's Paul talking to Timothy saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. And I just want to encourage you all to, you know, in just hearing where I come from in the step of faith that God has helped me with and that he has just worked through me, just to encourage you to continue on with your faith and to continue on growing in Christ, to never stop seeking wisdom, to never stop seeking him and giving him glory in all that you do. Because, you know, when we start to take glory for ourselves, when we start to take credit for ourselves, is when really when we're starting to be swept downstream, because we're starting to think that we're self-righteous. We're starting to think that we can do it on our own without the Holy Spirit working through us. And so I just want to end with that encouragement. And just, Jesus rocks. So we'll go ahead with some prayer. Father, I just thank you for the works of all of us, and I pray that we would all remain teachable, that we would remain faithful to you, so that as Paul said, when the time comes, we can say that we have fought the good fight, a fight that we are meant to win because it is a good fight. We have finished the race, and now we are going home to sit with the Holy Almighty One. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for what you have done for us. Jesus, for your willingness and your true love. That is an example of love, is what you have done for us so that we could be in, we could be sitting right with God like we've never done anything wrong. And I just thank you for this, and I just pray that you keep on stirring in our hearts the thirst and hunger for you, the wanting of more of you. And I just thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.